Welcome to Paint Ed. PCA provides painting contractors with connections they need to grow their business. To find out more and to become a member, visit pcapainted.org. Find more great content like this on PCA Overdrive. A subscription to the platform is included with membership. For all of you non-members out there, sign up for a free trial. PCA Overdrive is available on the App Store and Google Play.
Welcome, everybody. This is Ask a Painter Live. I am Nick Slavik. I'm the host of Ask a Painter Live. I'm also the proprietor of the Nick Slavik Painting and Restoration Company. I am also chairman of the board of directors of PCA, a 140-year-old nonprofit that serves the painting industry and builds better contractors. So today we have a very important management leader episode today. We're going to be talking about one-on-one meetings. And this is, if we're going to be very honest, you're probably not doing them. And it's probably one of the many things that are holding you back from being a good manager and a good business leader, right? In our businesses, we start painting businesses and we think we're just going to do some painting, do it really well, and do lots of painting. Problem is, in order to facilitate that painting, humans need a lot of other things outside of 40 hours a week, a paint can, and a job. So today, one of the things we're going to talk about is this big part of being a manager. Being brutally honest, we are leaders and we are technicians, and there's that middle thing that's a manager. Most people actually fail and do this really, really badly. So Instagram, give me a little audio check here. I think we're good, but I've been adjusting my microphone over the last couple of weeks. You guys can hear me. Just let me know there. I appreciate it. Serge, good morning. Happy Sunday. We're trying out a Sunday show here. So, all right, folks, a little bit of house cleaning first, which is let me shuffle around some windows here. Oh, no, we want to get this one back here. We want to get this one over. There we go. Awesome. Okay. So, number one, we have some schedule updates here. So, we are, upcoming events for me. I will be Louisville, Kentucky, April 12th, Syracuse, New York, 17 May, New Hampshire, 24 May, Fort Myers, Florida, 5 June. I'm having my summer retreat, 13 to 16 August, and that'll be announced after I get back from spring break here. We'll do a formal application process. I will be at Tom Reber's Mile High Profit Summit in Colorado, 19 September. SoCal, my friends at Surf Prep have me there every year. 27 September, I'll be doing a master's class there. That'll be an absolute blast. And then the Gathering of Minnesota Painters / Sherwin-Williams / Graco / master's classes, kind of my homecoming event every year, will be 6 December here in Minnesota. So, all right, folks, if you want to attend any of those right now, a lot of those are Sherwin-Williams sponsored ones. We're working on some other ones with Benjamin Moore and the like. But for now, if you want to go to any of those things, you got to talk to your Sherwin-Williams representative to get in. Most people only know about this within the district. So if you're from Kentucky, but you're close in another state and you talk to your Sherwin-Williams rep and they don't know anything about it, they probably don't. These are very hyper-local events. There's usually 75 to 150. So if you any of those, absolutely talk to your Sherwin-Williams rep. If they don't know about it, put them and me in an email and we'll take care of it from there. So Travis Dowlin, summer retreat. Absolutely. He's a retreater. He's been there with me. Dylan Haynes, good morning. All right, everybody. I think we are ready to start talking about PCA business. So I have a link in here to join the PCA business training. There is a plethora of advice, humans, and really good lessons in education and running a business. One-on-ones is only one of those things. And I want you guys to take away this overarching sort of theme through all of Ask a Painter, through the PCA's business training and things like that, which is it's not one thing. If right now you think the only thing holding you back is leads and estimates, you are absolutely wrong. Because if you solve those things, now all of a sudden you have to solve production. If you solve leads and production, now you have to solve the management thereof and becoming profit. And now you cascade into 19 different things that has to happen in every business. So if we're being brutally honest, if you started a painting business, there's certain things you're going to have to solve. Now, you can have people help you, but there's certain things you have to solve. If you say, well, I don't have enough work right now, or I can't find enough people, yeah, you're a business owner. put on your big boy and big girl pants, get out there and solve it. Doesn't mean you have to be a rugged individualist and try to come up with brand new ways of solving this on your own. You just have to solve it. You can do it with the PCA. You can do it with Ask a Painter. You can do it with other people, but you do have to solve it. And bemoaning the fact that you don't have enough work or enough people, congratulations, that's business. It's constantly solving problems every single day to the humans that help your business run. So if it feels hard, it is. Congratulations, you're a business owner. And only about 7% of any businesses in the United States will ever produce over $1 million of revenue. If it were easier, it'd be a hell of a lot more than 7%. So with that being said, we'll start off the day with a little brutalism. We'll have a sip of coffee, and then we're going to get into one of the things that you're not doing, one of the things you probably don't want to do, but one of the things you absolutely should be doing: one-on-one meetings with your most precious people, your most meaningful people. So, like I mentioned, sip of coffee, and we're off. If you guys have any questions, comments, along the way, post them in the comments in Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube, and we will get to those. Let's hop into it, everybody. I can't wait for some interaction on this thing here. I would love to know if you guys do one-on-one meetings. I would like to know the format. I would like to know the rhythm. If you've got lessons learned from one-on-ones, if you have questions, if you've never done a one-on-one, I am here for questions. Jason Webb, oh, my friend from across the pond, frequent follower, frequent listener, Jason Webb, good to see you, my friend. All right, everybody, Ask a Painter Live, 408, Sunday edition, before I go on spring break with my family, one-on-one meetings. Let's get after it. Data and feelings for you guys. The feelings is you're not doing this. The feelings is you should be doing this. The data is 70% of employees in the U.S. are unhappy with their jobs due to a negative management. That can be many things, right? That can be lots of things. 79% of employees will quit their job due to lack of appreciation from leaders. How do we show appreciation? Is it a message? Is it a party? Is it things like that? Or is it constant connection and accountability and culture building? Pose that to you later. 69% of millennials, I'm the eldest millennial, 69% of millennials believe that there's a lack of leadership development in the workplace. Leadership development. This is not pizza parties. This is not axe throwing. This isn't a PowerPoint slideshow about an SOP. This is true human development, right? If you want to learn how to run a business, and I sent you a 300 PowerPoint project slide thing and just said, great, what do you need to know? You'd be like, well, that's impersonal and I need help. I'm going to have questions. Guess what? So do your people. Sitting them down in front of a video or PowerPoint slide and hoping that that solves everything is not the answer. 69% of millennials believe that there's a lack of leadership development in the workplace. And honestly, when you look around the painting industry with the stats, it's probably 99% of all painting businesses do not have any way of developing their people. And this is not, hey, sit down with me once a year, I'll give you $1 an hour. Maybe we'll make you a team leader later. Maybe we'll do something like that. True development of humans. And humans are very complex creatures, and they need a lot of stuff. 83% of businesses say it's important to develop leaders, right? 69% of millennials believe there's no development. 83% of businesses say it's important to develop their leaders. I think we're all in accord here, right? But who can actually do it, right? Who can actually do it? 5% of organizations have fully implemented leadership development programs and one-on-ones. This is nationwide. This is all businesses. I would guarantee you that this number is probably 1% in the painting industry. So if you want a competitive advantage for recruiting employees, keeping employees, and giving the top talent to come to your business, as well as producing in top talent types of ways, just having a development plan, you're going to be in the top 1%, right? So why one-on-ones, right? Why one-on-ones? Accountability to a job description and KPIs, right? In my beloved book, my beloved book, a book that is beloved to me, I can't say that, it sounds like I wrote this, I did not write this. Intraction, literally, there is a sentence in here that says, if businesses can solve accountability, they win. How do you do accountability? It's not after a year when somebody's underperforming, yelling at them. That is not accountability. Accountability is, so think about how employees hold us accountable. You promise them a wage and some hours a week, and then you get paid on a Friday. If you don't pay them on a Friday, they message you and say, hey, Mr. Slavik, my check didn't show up today. Can we solve that together? And then you have to solve it. If you as a business have a KPI saying you need to produce $55,000 of residential reclaim work this week, and they didn't, guess what? On a Friday, if they didn't do that, you need to go to them and say, you didn't produce $55,000 of residential repaint work this week. Let's talk about why. Instead of just saying, you screwed me, you're not a good person, you're not doing a good job. You don't know that. You don't know that, right? You got to, as a good leader, get to the facts. When an employee calls me up and says, hey, Mr. Slavik, I didn't get my paycheck this Friday. I have really good employees. What they don't say is, you're an absolute crook. You didn't pay me. You're a thief. They say, I get a check. Do you know what's going on? So I'll call the payroll company and say, did this check go through? And they will say, well, no, actually not. The check got returned. And we're going to call you. Here's an email that says, you know, it bounced back. And typically we had this happen last week. It's just a wrong account number. My payroll people type in an account number wrong. Check got bounced back. Employee let me know. We put them two together and we solved it. But what we didn't start off with is need for action, yelling at people. One of the things you have to do for your people, and we have this as a non-negotiable slide later, is have an actual job description and have key performance indicators, KPIs. Everybody should have a number. I have numbers in the business that I need to hit, right? And then you need to hold people accountable to that. Now, accountability doesn't have to be these tense, horribly emotional arguments. It can just be, hey, you didn't hit your numbers last week. So what are we going to do? Tell me about it. Tell me about your week. Let's go through the SOP, every step there, and see if you missed something, didn't do something, or something like that. So good management. Good management is connecting with your people on a professional level. There's the observer effect, right? This is a scientific principle where people and things and organisms and environments respond differently when they're being observed, right? If you know you are being tested for a push-up contest, you will likely do more push-ups than if you just randomly decide to do some push-ups in the back of your farm by yourself. You perform differently when you're being observed, right? If you are to paint a room live on the internet, you will perform a little differently than if you're painting your room on your own, on the weekend, in your free time, right? That's just how humans are, right? Pattern detection. I believe one of the most underutilized things that leaders and managers don't do and use is pattern detection, right? So I believe that a good CEO wanders around, asks a lot of questions, discusses a lot of things with a lot of people, listens, gathers a whole bunch of information, and then makes a few very big decisions, a few very basic decisions that affect a lot of people for a lot of time during the course of a year, right? And part of that is pattern detection. If you talk to all of your leadership team and you realize that their level of stress is getting high because there's too much manual entry and redundancy in some of your processes, you take a step back as a leader and say, wait a second, I had 5 one-on-ones today, and on 4 of them, they were saying it just takes too much time to do things and they don't look forward to that process. Well, you could say to them, suck it up and just stop complaining about this and just move on with your life. Or you could say, well, maybe there's some need for some automation coming up here. Maybe we need to find an app or a system, or maybe we need to just get rid of some redundancy in this process. Pattern detection is a big thing. Coaching, mentoring, developing. So again, remember the slides at the start here. Just giving people pay and a job is not enough. You need to form a genuine human connection. It can be professional, it can be personal, or both. And then it has to actually develop humans. Not saying, well, once a year I'm going to send you to RRP-led paint training, right? That's not development. That's just a thing you have to do, right? True human coaching, mentoring, development is something different, right? And in order for that to work, you have to have a genuine bond of trust between two humans. So culture and connection. That's huge. In order for any of this stuff to work, your people have to trust you. You have to have a professional connection, and they have to know that they can come to you to solve things that you're supposed to solve as a leader, right? There are things that get escalated to me all the time that are my purview. If you just hire a bunch of people and hope they solve problems for you, that's likely not going to happen. Every once in a while, you'll run across a unicorn, you'll hire them. They don't take much input. They give you a lot of outputs. They generally try to like solve things and fix things on their own. That can lull leaders and business owners into a sense of complacency, and then they stop connecting with that human, and that human solves that for a while. They feel underappreciated, and then they go find another job. And that's just how it is. You can stop that cycle and actually form a genuine professional connection with them and then solve those problems together. Last one, This is, so you guys will see a through line through a lot of this, which is I like brutalism. I like brutal truths, brutal facts, and then taking action on them, right? That is not a trait that a lot of humans like. A lot of humans like the path of least resistance, good, happy, fun talks. This is not me saying a value judgment. One person's better than the other. This is my preferred communication style, right? What you have to understand is that visionaries, owners, founders, scalers are typically, they typically have a very high pain tolerance. They're typically only interested in fixing the things that need to be fixed. They don't need a lot of praise a lot of the time. And the thing you have to understand is that that is not like anybody you employ, right? That is not like anybody you employ. There is a concept in performance coaching and therapy and management, comfort versus solutions, right? Most people, when they come to you as an owner, as a manager, as their direct, you know, they're your direct report. A lot of times people want comfort. They don't necessarily want solutions, right? And the problem with a lot of the visionaries, founders, scalers of companies is that somebody says, hey, it's going to rain Thursday. What should we do? We just say, here's the solution to that. And they walk away. And that person, typically what you get is a blank look on their face because they wanted something more. They wanted comfort. What they want you to say is, yeah, I get it. Scheduling with this stuff is very tough. There's a lot of variables in this. This is one of them. And it's actually a little difficult to solve. But I tell you what, let's do it together. Let's sit down. Why don't you describe me what a potential solution is, what you think we should do. We'll discuss the pros and cons, and let's make a decision together, right? Typically, people do not want to walk up to you, ask you how to solve something, and you give them a solution. I just want to be honest. This is endlessly frustrating with me because when somebody asks for a solution and you give one, to me as a manager and a leader, I'm like, job well done, Nick. Somebody came to you looking for a solution and you gave them one. This is not a value judgment. This is not me saying I'm better than other people, that they're better than me. This is me saying that this is one of the irrational, interesting, squishy, subjective things about humans, right? This is just who they are. Now, this may be saying a lot more about me than other even business owners and stuff, but I take things very objectively and on their face value, and you just have to understand that a lot of people may not. So just to know. One-on-one strategies. Typically, this is so it's taken me a long time to assume a strategy and a rhythm for one-on-ones because I like for people to say very harsh things to me right away, and I don't like wasting time. My Lord, is that not how the rest of people interact? Again, this will probably be the last time I'll say it, but this is not a value statement. This is not me saying, boy, if everybody else was like me, that'd be fine. The problem is when you have a unique personality type, you soon realize that you can sit here and wish that everybody else would change their personality type to conform to you. That's a long, trudging life. Or you could say, well, there's some things that make that personality very valuable to my company and my people. But on a whole, a lot of people don't interact like that, so I have a choice. You can either try to force everybody square in a round hole, or you can say, well, there's a way I need to adapt my personality style and my leadership and management to make sure that people get the most out of it, right? And that's something that's taken me a lot of years because I'm very stubborn as well too. So a soft open, how was your weekend? How was your day? How was your family? It's something that I used to think is complete waste of time. I should tell you guys this now. I juxtapose my nascent personality with how I've had to adapt. And this is not me saying I hate it. Over the past year and a half, I've adapted this beautiful system of meetings and one-on-ones. I look forward to them. I love them. I feel deeply satisfied and gratified after we are done with them because I know that I did the job of a good manager. But I went kicking and screaming into this. This is not the thing I wanted to do, right? One of the worst things about most business owners, and especially in a small business, is when you constantly say to yourself, if everybody would just do their job, I wouldn't have to do any of this stuff. That's not how the world works, right? That's not how personal relationship works. That's not how we work, right? That is a wrong standard to put on the rest of humanity. So soft open. Open just with some conversation. It lets everybody's guard down. It forms a connection. And it actually shows you care if you actually mean the question, right? I typically then go through like some KPIs. I want to hit some numbers right away because that gives me the pulse of what we do. I should also say this too. If it's not written down, it doesn't exist. So you have to get We have to make sure that these meetings are written down and you want the people's buy-in. Direct report input, which is just what I said. You have a written format that you share with them. You want them to put the numbers in, them to put the topics down, them to suggest some things. You're going to have your topics that you need to share and talk about, but you have to have them have input. If they just show up to a meeting and nothing's written down and you just start talking for a half an hour to an hour, you have not done your job as a manager. If you show up and it's written down, but it's all what you write, you haven't done your job as a manager. You want them to sort of guide where the meeting is going so you can do some pattern detection and see what's on their mind, right? Listening and asking questions. This is a big thing. And again, this is hard for me. It's not my leadership style. When somebody says they didn't hit the numbers this week, I'll just say, well, here's something you should do next week. Just try this and then report back. That's not it. You got to ask some more questions. You got to see from their point of view, and you got to listen a lot more. And again, remember, comfort versus solutions. Sometimes the best thing you can do for other humans, personally and professionally, is to give them comfort and not necessarily rattle off solutions. So the rhythms of one-on-ones. So we have one-on-ones for technicians, painters, give or take. We have one-on-ones for managers and leaders, high-level technicians as well. And then we have leadership team. And then we have the leaders, ourselves, things like that. I'm going to show you rhythms and examples of how I use these in my company and with me personally. So again, we have to understand that you have to tailor your one-on-ones to the actual human. And there are three personality types and risk and reward profiles and personality profiles in your company. You have technicians, you have managers, high-level technicians, and then you have the owner and the leader, right? And each of these people, again, I do not want you to take away that this is a value judgment. One is better than the other. Each serves their purpose. Each historically and statistically have fallen along a different personality type. You start with technicians, which is right under this hand, high-level technicians and managers, and then you have owners and leaders of the company. Technicians historically have had a lower risk and reward profile. They're not willing to risk a lot more for a lot more, right? So you can say, well, hey, listen, I could either pay you hourly or you could get a percentage of the job. And they'll historically say, I did hourly, whether you do good or bad, right? The next level up, high-level technicians or managers in the company technically have a higher risk and reward. They will really desire a base pay and a bonus because they want more of their effort to have a direct effect on their pay. Typically, though, owners and leaders have the highest risk and highest reward profile, which is there is not a high-level technician or manager or a technician in my company that can possibly go into debt for working for me. I could go into debt and have gone into debt to support my company. But there's a higher reward, right? I'm willing to risk more to get more. And that's typically not how other people are incentivized. It's not their business, right? And their personality profiles make them very uncomfortable with that sort of thing. So that's just three different people and you have to tailor your one-on-ones there. So here's a technician goal setting and review meeting. My rhythm is four times a year with them. Oh, excuse me, let me go back one quick here. Yeah, so I should say, I do technician meetings quarterly, right? We do managers, leadership team, high-level technicians weekly. And then I do almost four accountability sessions every week or bi-weekly, give or take right now for me. So if my team thinks they have a lot of accountability on them, I have on average about four times more accountability in meetings than the person who has the most in my company, which again, it's just, I like that. I like brutalism, I like accountability, and I respond very well to it. So technicians, typically what we do is, for our painters, we rate them on attendance and job performance, and then I collect that data for a quarter, 3 months, and then report it back to them. And they fall into one of three buckets. They fall into red, yellow, or green. Red is they get a performance improvement plan, which basically states your attendance and job performance is so low, you have a certain amount of time to fix it or can't offer you a job here anymore. Yellow is below standard, but if you keep your job, you're going to have to improve. You're not going to get a pay raise. And green is you've met the standard, you're eligible for a pay raise, and you get a pay raise, give or take. And one of my standards is working 40 hours a week, which I would consider a really low standard, but nowadays is a tough thing for a lot of young people, right? But that's how I chart all this stuff. We report back to them four times a year on that and give people the option. We highly incentivize them by four raises a year like that to get them to do good work. Estimators and project managers. So this is my meeting. Template of them. And if you email me at the end of this, I'll actually send you a template of this stuff. This is one I've adapted over the last 2 years here. I really do love it. And it does just enough accountability and KPI and number stuff and just enough pattern detection and culture building. I think we've really landed on a really good rhythm for my people. So we definitely, we start off with a soft open. We talk about some numbers right away. So numbers of estimates for the quarter. Last week's goal, we have a weekly sales, like an estimator one. So this is a weekly sales goal. And then quarterly to date, we have the large one, because sometimes you have ups and downs in your weeks, but you're actually on track for the quarter. And we want those two things. Did you hit it last week? Are you on track for the quarter? And then one of the things that I developed is I've adapted from a whole bunch of advice from other people and other people who do a lot of one-on-ones, is allowing the person you're managing to insert their own topic. So I give them between a space for 3 to 5 topics, and they put what's on top of their mind. So before I get to any of my topics, we basically go through and we talk about their topics. And typically they're a bunch of quick hitters, specific questions about jobs, technology, things like that. And then depending on what you want to track in pattern detection, at the bottom, you're seeing a big thing down there, which is we were falling a little bit behind in sales at the start of the year. So I just said, hey, I told my estimators, hey, quick report here, list all the estimates from last week and list if you delivered on site, if you sold them on site, and then you know, just some impressions, some notes and things like that. And I was just looking for some quick pattern from the people. It's a very, very effective thing. And one of the things that I've done is it's sort of a holistic sort of thing, but it's changing the place of your one-on-ones. It's very important to go same time, same day, same agenda, so people fall into a good rhythm. But what I found is that we rotate where we do them. I like to go someplace private. We either go to a coffee shop, things like that, a restaurant. One of my favorite ones is a one-on-one meeting. There is a 2-mile course through New Prague that I will take my people on. It's at least 31 minutes, give or take. But having a walking one-on-one gets you that exercise, also gets you out in nature. So you're just sitting in the same office, but it's a very effective thing. So estimator and then leaders. So here's the deal. I prefer brutalism, right? And so if anybody ever has me as a direct report, I don't like cold opens. I don't need a lot of culture building. I want to perform very highly, right? And so what I've done, I've formed 4 systems of accountability around me. They are 4 separate humans or entities that I check in with at least weekly. There's one of them that I kind of alternate between weekly and bi-weekly, but those are people that I check in, and I really cut right to the point with a lot of those things. So here's a format that I actually created for people to hold me accountable to, which is I come with a list of topics on my mind, and that person who holds me accountable can then see what's on my mind, what I'm thinking about, and they decide. They start asking me questions about that. Tell me more about this. Tell me more about this. And one of the great things that the people hold me accountable to, and my coach / mentor is actually probably one of the best people I've ever seen at this. He keys in on something that I didn't think that was that important, and he'll go deep on it. And it turns out to be an actual very, very meaningful sort of thing. But what I like about all this, and I'm just showing you guys an example, because what you're going to find is that if you want to be a business owner, you are going to be better served by being open to reviews. I'm just going to be honest with you, right? If you're the owner of a company and you need to be constantly comforted, you're not wrong. You're going to have a tough go with this, right? Because we are the final backstop. You can go into debt or lose your business or lose your own house for the pleasure of employing all these people, right? So at some point, you need to have a very, very low pain tolerance, but be open to brutalism. And I just want to show you how accountable that I am to these things down here. I come up with my topics. I get ripped apart. And one of my favorite things my coach / mentor does to me is when I start talking about something, giving him some KPIs, I'm giving him some feelings from my company, he'll lean back in his chair and smile and says, "You're full of shit." And that's one of the most beautiful things that people can do to me. I prefer to do that. I absolutely do. There's nothing better in my life. I almost try to get to a point where he laughs at me and says, "You're full of shit." Because then you know, we're actually getting something good. And then I say, "There's that look again, tell me more." And then we get to something real. And he says, "Tell me what it actually is, don't tell me that." Or, "Yes, you can report the data, but what is actually going on?" And then I give it to him and it's awesome. And I absolutely love it. It seriously is probably one of the best appointments of my entire week is that brutal 1 hour accountability session like that. And I, when people ask me, like, you know, I objectively get quite a bit done every week. And when people ask, how do you fit it all in? It's because I don't need to be comforted, right? I need brutalism. People give me a list of things that I'm full of shit about or I'm doing badly. And then I systematically pick them off over and over and over again. And I would still consider myself a underperformer as far as business owners go, but we overestimate what we can get done in a week and we underestimate what we can get done in a year. And I will share this one of these weeks, but people have been asking me what's in my notebook like this. And so I rearrange priorities in my personal and professional life based on these four accountability meetings I have. I keep a constant running list of things that are kind of floating around, that this is kind of like your, you know, 3 to 6 months sort of to-do list here. And then I move them over here to, I'm going to pick three things every day. And if I'm being honest, I sit here at my computer every morning. I do an ideation walk. I work through these things in my head. I think successive cascading thoughts about them. I try to prioritize them in my head. And then I sit down and I write down my three things. And I'm like, three things a week? You're only going to do three things today? Most days I don't get those three things done. They're big things, right? They take a lot of time. They take a lot of energy. They have a lot of connecting parts. I need other humans' inputs. But if I can do 2 to 3 things a day over the course of, you know, 250 working days a year, that's 750 tasks that get checked off a year. So picking it off, knowing that there's a list of 72 things that need to be done. Blinders on, pick these three today and just fight like hell to get those three done. So it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Here's another thing that if you want to get really, really deep about this stuff, this is something that I track for my personal and professional life. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 areas of my life that I try to stay on track with constantly, right? And I have weekly goals. I have monthly goals. I have quarterly goals. And I have somebody here that, I just lowered my chair here, that holds me accountable to these. And again, this is another person who says, did you really do that? Or are you just saying that? And this is something you want to do, or are you just saying you want to do? Does that goal, is it a restating of your intentions, or is it an actual goal? And if you make that choice, are you moving closer or farther away? Also, you sure do talk about that stuff a lot. Sounds like you should do something about it. And I love that brutalism. So again, all this stuff interconnects. And these are things where I did not start all at once. These are things where, as I've been gaining more bandwidth in my personal and professional life, I add these things in. I just want you guys to know that there is a lot of intention or seeming intention from my part, from any manager. And the more you're open to being held accountable for this sort of thing, the better you're going to perform and the easier way you're going to have through life here. So leadership team meetings. This is another big topic too. So I did something novel this year, which is I've stopped having formal boardroom leadership team meetings. I realized I'm trying to cancel out redundancy. I'm trying to make single source of truth wherever we go in my business. And the truth is, when we had a leadership team meeting and I pulled up KPIs, we were basically talking about all the things that we were talking about in our one-on-ones, right? And so I just stopped. And so what I thought is, you know what? If we're going to get all our people together, now we share a lunch. Every Monday, same time, we rotate restaurants, but we go there. I usually come with one topic that I would just want some people's input on like that. Otherwise, we're just there to enjoy each other, build some culture and things like that. We've already done the hard accountability on our individual one-on-ones. And it's my job to then do something about it. And I just don't want to be redundant with that sort of thing. So Instagram, Sean's Cabinetry. Are you using EOS? We implemented that in 2020 and have been seeing amazing results. Sean, you probably weren't there at the start of the thing, but literally this is that sort of thing. So I want to say about 6 years I was introduced, 7 years I was introduced to Traction. You can see some well-worn pages in this bad boy. I was introduced to it and I self-implemented and it was amazing. You can see there are notes. I'm a note taker like this. And one of the coolest things that I like doing is I got all my business books here, all my nonfiction, all my books I read in my personal life. And I love going back through and looking at what I wrote down as that part of my life. One of my favorite things to do is I have a paperback copy. I don't know, it's like 1,200 pages of From Here to Eternity. I read it when I was like 18, and I have all these notes, questions about life, and it's still fun to look back at that stuff. But same thing, attraction. I have a lot of notes in here from when I was a single owner operator, what was going through my head, and it's a really good reset to tell myself, now, Nick, you got a lot of direct reports now. Here's what you were thinking back then, and here's what you were wishing back then. It's a really, really cool thing. So leadership team meetings. The goal of a leadership team meeting is to sort of build connections and trust and know everybody can count on you for stuff. And I would make the argument you can sort of do that in one-on-one meetings, give or take, and then just get everybody together and have a good time, accountability, culture, things like that. So Travis from Facebook, with traction and the weekly L10, you remove that. Basically, you are calling out individual L10s. One-on-ones. Yep, you got it, man. That's it. So I used to do the same format where we go through sales number, production numbers, leads, things like that. And now with my estimators, we go all through those individually. With project manager, we go through their production numbers. With my office coordinator, we go through leads, appointments, jobs that are sold, reviews, and things like that. And honestly, we just handle that all separately. And this is something that as it's just wonderful, like calibrating your leadership compass, right? For a year, I felt like these meetings were redundant. We're going over the same numbers, just aggregated. I felt like we were just checking things off. Everybody wanted to get back to their jobs. And then I thought, you know what? What would make people pause and look each other in the eye and actually let's talk together? Well, sharing a lunch every day, or excuse me, every week, right? It's just important because our two estimators hit the road. Our project managers are in the office with me, but they're doing job site visits and everybody's just busy. Intern Jack is sort of here and there, our coordinator's all over the place. And for 1 hour, we just sit there and pause. We just sit there and pause and we just enjoy some time together. And it does really help, but all that accountability has to be done elsewhere. So, oh, Travis, love these questions. Do you feel that that can create silos of sales and less about production? So here's the deal. Like I mentioned, at the leadership lunch, I will typically bring up a thing. Like we had a thing where we were allowing contractors that we had good relationships with to sort of bypass the setup system and go right to a project manager and estimator. And it was causing friction. I noticed this pattern detection in one-on-ones. Estimators said, this is causing friction. Project manager, this is causing friction. I said, oh, that's interesting. So as the operations manager, I took a step back. And I said, hey, you know what? I'm going to talk about this at leadership lunch. We talked about a potential solution. We implemented it, and we just kept going. So, oh, my God, this is awesome. Thank you for that. Painting by Juan. Juan, what's up, man, from Instagram. Love following your content. If you guys don't follow Painting by Juan, he's a killer, man. He's a killer. Does awesome content. Onyx Painting, good morning. Onyx Painting, love it. Good morning, sir. Playing Nerf guns with my son and listening to the wonderful Ask a Painter. You guys have no idea how much it means to me. There's a young fellow who just had a baby, and he sent me a picture of him, Saturday morning coffee, baby in the little bassinet right here, Ask a Painter on the laptop, him comforting the baby, drinking coffee, watching Ask a Painter. Like, you guys have no idea. As business owners, we're typically utilitarian and multitaskers. That's awesome. That just melts my heart, guys. I do appreciate that so much. So leadership team meetings, that's the deal. My goal in life, I think I've watched Office Space, the movie, too many times. So I have this like visceral, like biological reaction to meetings and cubicles and reports and things like that. So I try to be really careful to not have any of them in my company. And if they do exist, something, it's for an immediate purpose and we can't function without it, things like that. So, Daniel, what's up, man? Daniel, I've gotten to know Daniel quite a bit better over this last year. Super impressed, man. Thanks for sharing. Excited to get one-on-one added more often this week. Dude, I would love some feedback on that too. So again, for you guys who weren't here at the start of the show, let's just be all honest with each other. You're not doing this. You should be doing it. You probably don't want to do it. God dang it, is it important, man, to connect with people. Imagine if you got brought into a new industry, a new job, new people, new job description. Everything is different. And then nobody ever sat down with you to check in and see how you're doing, right? I wish I could do a daily one-on-one, but the problem is we do actually need to get some jobs done. So Daniel, it's a great challenge. Get out there, schedule a one-on-one. It doesn't have to be perfect. I can send you a template if you like, but the best part is just do it. And I will tell you this, every 2 to 3 months, I change the format of my one-on-ones based on what the company needs. And that's why I like being a unilateral decision maker in my company, because I don't have to take it to a board. I can just make the decision. So Daniel, appreciate you, man. You're doing good things out there. So, all right, here's some non-negotiables though. One-on-ones aren't going to solve everything. And again, what I want everybody to take away is that one thing is not going to solve this for you. You need more jobs, and you say, I need more leads and more projects, and you get them, congratulations. Now you have another thing to solve and another thing. And it's whack-a-mole. And you need to keep all these things in business running in stasis. One-on-ones will never work. They may build a little connection and culture, but the problem is if that person doesn't have a job description, a scale with data, performance metrics every week that you can track reliably and trustworthily, that won't work. Goal setting and review process with accountability. If they don't have onboarding, if they don't have training, if they don't have an SOP, this is never going to work, guys. Martin Dock from Scotland. How you doing, man? Appreciate you watching from overseas. None of this is going to work, guys. So honestly, if somebody says this is a lot of work, what am I supposed to do? I don't have enough time for this. I can send you all these templates. Other people can send them too. Just start in your business. They're never going to be perfect. Don't let perfect stand in the way of really, really good. Get these in there and start changing them. I change all this stuff every quarter. And so I have to be careful when I say that. I'm not making monumental changes against people's will. What I'm doing is constantly simplifying and improving the process every single quarter. Consider this your playbook. If you don't have any of this, your people's lives are going to be not that great, and you get a lot of turnover, right? So all those things right there. Job description, pay scale, GSRs, onboarding, training, SOPs, all that good stuff. So here's the deal. Deciding whether people are right for your company or right for any job in general typically goes along the line of this. Above the line, below the line. The right person will take ownership, accountability, and responsibility of their lot in life, their job, their performance, and everything else. The wrong person will blame, excuse, deny. So challenge for everybody is when you think about your painters, when you think about estimators, project managers, operations managers, subcontractors, the last 3 or 4 conversations you had with people, did they take responsibility and ownership of their accountability, or did they make an excuse? Did they blame? Did they deny it was even happening? Humans have a really, really interesting way of being so consistent. Typically, what I don't see is that people are, they took accountability for this, but then they denied that other thing was happening. They took responsibility for this and made an excuse for the next thing. That typically doesn't happen. Typically, what you'll get is this. At its simplest form, if a painter is late every day by 17 minutes, you're like, hey, man, you know the standard is 7 o'clock on the job site. Please, can you show up there? They'll either say, hey, I'm so sorry. You know what? It's just, I'm not really a morning person. I'm still getting accustomed to it. Really working on it. I'm setting multiple alarms and I promise it won't happen again. Or they'll say, listen, man, my dog chewed my cord, or my wife needs me in the morning, or I don't know what you wanted to do. There was traffic. Humans will consistently blame, excuse, deny, or they will take ownership, accountability, and responsibility. It's a pretty amazing thing that humans are that consistent here. So here we go, Travis, always with the good questions, man. One of my favorite people to talk to in the industry. Is your one-on-one considered your GSR or GAM meeting? Or do you do these also, leadership, PM, and estimator? So get this, that is a great thing. And I forgot to put a slide in about this. I should have put it in a slide. I do not do goal setting and review meetings or GAM meetings quarterly with my estimators and project managers or coordinators anymore either. What we do, they're having 52 one-on-one accountability meetings with me in the year. I don't need to then have a separate one to see how you did in the quarter because we're tracking that in their one-on-one. So we do it on a micro level. We are consistent, not extreme, where we don't wait all year, then have a whole bunch of meetings with people and do stuff. We pick away at them literally every week, every week consistently throughout. Great question. Leadership, PM and estimator are solid. May have missed that. No, you didn't miss that. I don't do any formal meetings outside of those weekly one-on-ones because, again, anytime something is redundant or a double source of truth or duplicate something we did, that is a very good sign to exit from your company. And I got a great lesson in that last year. And I've been having a lot of fun with that. So anytime we have that, by default, I just get rid of it. And then magically what you'll find is that nothing bad happens. If you ever duplicate something in your company, I can think of very few examples where multiple redundancies, duplication, multiple points of truth actually help, right? Consistency, dude. That is the big thing. And you have to understand, being a cowboy and a cowgirl and founding a company, scaling a company, growing a company, and all that other stuff, high pain tolerance, extremeness is beneficial. The problem is when you do have a bunch of people and you run a big professional company, that actually hurts your company. So now, congratulations, everybody. You want to get to $1 million in painting? Now you have to change from being a cowboy and a cowgirl to a consistent, I was going to say boring consistent manager. That's me watching too much Office Space. You don't need to wear a short sleeve button shirt with a tie and button it all the way to the top and have some crazy aviation glasses. Like, that's not the thing. You do have to be consistent. And I am not a consistent person. That's why you guys saw how much accountability I put in my life and how serious I am about how many areas of my life in order to force myself to be that consistent human. So one-on-ones, lessons learned. Let me just wet the old whistle here. You're not doing this. You're probably not doing this. If you are doing it, you're not doing it consistently. If you are doing it consistently, you're probably not doing it professionally, right? If you are doing it professionally and consistently, you're probably not listening and asking questions, right? These are just truths, right? I wasn't doing this. I feel safe saying this to you. You probably don't want to do this either. Too bad. You own a business now, and these are the things that you need to do. It's better for you to start early than to wait until it's too late and lose people you're grateful for when you do that. True managers are really rare. I'm just being honest. If somebody's been doing a job for 6 years and you take them from a technician to a manager, they usually fail. Managers are different, right? Managers love accountability. They love ownership a lot more. They love responsibility more. They look people right in the eyes. They have no problem with accountability. They have systems around it. They do the hard things. They have the hard conversations. Regardless of somebody's job, there are very few people who can actually do this. So I just want you guys to be very careful taking somebody who's done a job for a while and then making them a manager. There are people that can do that, right? There are people that are just born and bred managers. They can be developed. There's not a lot of people if we're being honest. That's just the truth, right? That's just the truth about the entire world. You have to lead with empathy. This is something I tell myself a lot, right? There are times in my life where I would have felt a heck of a lot better if people would have led with a little bit of empathy towards the situation. Like, I'm working 100 hours a week. I'm trying to hire people, foster them, develop them. Money's tight. I want to have clients have a good thing. I wish sometimes that I would have been given a little more empathy. But again, big boy pants, it is what it is. But with your people, they will just quit your job. You can't quit your business. You're going to stay in your business, right? So it's sort of like, there's a very much smaller tolerance. There's a lot more opportunities for your employees out there than for you to own another business. So you're stuck in this. You want to make it work. You have to make it work in a lot of cases. And your other people don't. So you're going to have a much higher intolerance than they. So that's just how the world works. API. This is something my favorite high school principal, Dave Giesen, who lives out in the wilderness of St. Benedict with me here. He is the principal of my children's elementary school and one of the most impressive human beings I've ever met. And he taught me something called API, assume positive intent, because I was asking him as a manager. I mean, at some points, I have between 30 and 40 direct reports through the year. He has an entire school of not only like administrators, teachers, and then students, and then their parents. I mean, you could be looking at 1,000 people involved in all this thing when you think about it, families and extended families. And his business is dealing with the most precious items of other humans. We're coloring people's houses, right? Houses are important to them. They're not their children, right? So you want to talk about emotions, feelings-based discussions. I just came to him one day and I said, I'm assuming you get a lot of very hot emotional conversations. And I assume that when people call the principal, it's typically not to congratulate you and tell you you're doing a good job. It's people are very sensitive about their children and they have lots of conversations and lots of emotionally very forward conversations. And he says, Nick, yes. That's my life. I signed up for this. I love it. Here's how I deal with it. Assume positive intent, API. Assume that that person means well. Assume that that person has a positive intention towards you. It may not feel like it. It may not smell like it. It may not sound like it. It may not come off like it. But just assume that this person wants what's best for their kid, for the school, and for you. And if you start with that, you lead with a little more empathy as a leader. God dang it, is that wise? That is so wise, but it does not take a fiery paint business owner who gets emotional and fires off angry emails and texts and spicy words to people at the drop of a hat. That's not what a professional does. Dave is an amazing API leader. in that regard. So goals, you should have a range of goals for your people, low goals, middle goals, high goals, give or take, not just this. And you want it to be very careful about you fail, you wildly succeeded. You got to have a range to see, to show people how they're doing. You got to think about violations too. So a lot, I had to remember the leadership compass, calibrating that. What does the leader do? Where does that needle tell you to go during these things? Boy, was mine not calibrated, because I had a very interesting upbringing in this industry. And the leader that I got trained under did not calibrate my compass very well. The way that I've decided and the way that I look to my leadership compass to tell me how to deal with what I would consider violations, if somebody's not doing their job or not doing it well enough, instead of just coming down like a ton of bricks on everybody for everything, I've really decided that there's a decision tree, right? And the first two branches are technical violation, or is it a core value violation, right? So take showing up late for work. Does this person have a positive intention? Yes. They probably don't want to be late to work either. Is it just something they constantly stumble over? Do they share your core values? If those things are yes, you probably don't want to come down like a brick shit house on top of them, right? But if they're doing it because they hate the person they're working with, they don't like the company, they don't intend on being here, they're doing something else in that meantime, they're trying to just, you know, they show up and they don't share your core values, now you come down on them a little bit differently, right? If somebody's not hitting their sales numbers, but they're doing all their estimates, they're trying very hard to stay in late, or they decided to cancel two estimates and go home and take a nap, those are two very different things. One is a technical violation. You share my core values, but you didn't hit your goal. Now you get coaching, mentorship, and empathy. If you didn't hit your goal and you don't share my core values, and we know that, we're coming down very hard. And that's a time where a good manager and a good leader will walk over, look you in the face, and say, if you do that again, I can't employ you. You know the standard. You have an employment agreement. You know what you did was wrong. Do you need anything from me to help you? Do you understand what I'm asking you? You have 1 week to do this. If it happens again, I have to ask you to leave this company. And that's what a good manager does. That's what a good manager does. Not just run up and say, you're a jerk. If you do that again, you're fired. You walk through a series of, you know what the standard is, right? One of those sort of things. So yeah, very big thing. One of the biggest things that I've learned this last year that I really take note of and I look at, written down every day, is telling people you appreciate them, you're grateful for them before you're going to lose them or before it's too late. Right? Business owners and unprofessional business owners have a horrible trait where they show people a lot of love and appreciation to get them into the company. They completely ignore them. And then they show a lot of love and appreciation when the person says they're going to leave for another job. That is not a good human thing to do. That's not a good manager. That's not a good leader, owner thing to do. If you're grateful for somebody, tell them you're grateful regularly before you need to. That's a big thing. Chris Kent. Oh, my man, Chris Kent. I think you said you do quarterly one-on-ones with technicians. How do you bring clarity to those meetings without their foreman or direct leader present? So here's the deal, Chris. I am their direct leader, their direct foreman. Their performance is individually rated, right? So once in a while, when we have a new apprentice, you have to let me know if this actually answers your question. Once in a while, when we have a new apprentice, I will ask for feedback along the way from the recruiter because it's very important I get that feedback loop and I do pattern detection right away. But after that, after we know they can do the job and they know they share our core values, then we're basically looking at their individual performance, one of those things there. So that's kind of how we look at it. Chris, let me know if that answered your question. Chris is a big thinker in the industry. I love your questions. I love discussing this kind of stuff with you. So, all right, folks, here's the deal. Management is actions, not humans, right? Management is actions and not humans. You can call somebody a manager. It doesn't mean they're taking any actions of a manager. It means they're doing anything to develop it, right? And let's just be brutally honest. 99% of all painting businesses, if you're watching this, you are a manager, whether you want to or not. And this is probably something you're not doing, probably something you don't want to do. But literally, this book will tell you the difference between where you are and where you want to be is that. It's not an app. It's not colors on your brand. It's not a magical marketing campaign. It's not an amazingly effective job recruiting ad. It's not a trick way to pay people that get the best out of people and keep them forever. It's literally boring, consistent, day-to-day management. truth. You can rally against that. You can say that's not me. You can try to hire it out. It's got to be you. It's just got to be you, right? The truth is you probably can't afford managers until you get over $3 or $4 million worth of residential repaint work or commercial work. If you think you're going to hire somebody to do all this stuff for your company and you're doing $700,000 of revenue a year, you're likely wrong. You're just likely wrong. And I just want to tell you that because I've tried to do that every stage of this business. We're now between $3 and $3.5 million of revenue, and I am still the manager. I would make an argument. I might be able to afford somebody to do that for me. I don't know if I could do it correctly. I probably can't afford it. What I want, even at this stage, it is me. Why do you think I'm working so hard to be the manager for my people? If I can't find them a manager that's way better than me, for the love of God, I'm going to be that manager for them. And I'm going to break myself day in and day out to make sure that I'm the leader and the manager that they need. Right? And a lot of it is this, that consistency. Every day, every time. Management is actions, not humans. Management is actions and not humans. It's not a manager, it's the management, right? Humans move towards entropy. They move towards chaos, right? If you don't connect with people, they will just wander off into space, right? This is not me saying good or bad. Everybody does this. If there's no accountability, people perform differently. So all humans and systems need a manager and accountability. They need a manager and accountability. So here's my promise to you guys. Oh, Aaron, Aaron, one of the best. Oh, come on, man. You know, very good compliments. Very interesting. Maybe we'll connect sometime with Aaron, but Aaron was one of, I love Aaron. He's down in Texas now and we've been talking, I've been mentoring him in some business stuff recently. Aaron's one of my favorite people on earth, his whole family. Aaron was one of, there's a famous story of my business where I had three people working for me and they all quit on a Friday night. Aaron was one of them and I love him for it. He's a great guy. He left for the right reason, all that other stuff. He was going to do religious mission work. But it's just one of those great foundational stories of the business where Aaron was actually one of them. He's one of those three killers that was working with me. We had one truck. We're out there banging out Victorian restorations one after another. One of the hardest working kids I've ever known in my life. Started his own paint business in Texas. I couldn't be more proud of him. So this is where the connections, and this is the part about being a good manager and a good leader are in this, where there's been people who left my company who don't think very well of me, right? Magically, they all fell below the line. They all didn't want to show up for work, and none of them took ownership of their lot in life. But there's been a lot of people who have moved on to other things in my company that were constantly above the line. Ownership, accountability, responsibility, and they're my favorite humans on earth. A lot of them have actually started their own paint businesses recently, so I couldn't be more proud of them. Aaron is one of those best examples. But I will tell you guys this. If you guys want a one-on-one template or a couple one-on-one templates from me, mention this show, mention the one-on-one template, you email me here, and I will send you an example. Now, the big challenge is, remember, success is not access to information. This is free. I'll give you the template. Now, the big challenge is, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to actually do it every week? Are you going to actually sit down with your people every week consistently, same time, same place, same format, and take care of your people as a manager and leader? Or are you not? Are you going to try it once and then you get busy? There's always something to do. There's a job site to kick off. There's a phone call to do. There's a meeting. There's a this and that. Or are you actually going to do it for your people? And please don't let perfect stand in the way of really good. Chris Kent, following up for clarity. Without being on the jobs myself, I rely on my foreman or job leader to deliver their KPIs, and I require them to provide feedback on apprentices and painters. So in doing quarterly reviews, how do I bring accurate feedback? Oh, yes. So here's the deal. This is specific. If you, Chris, have a whole bunch of people who can actually manage others and they are literally their direct report, that works. The problem for me is that we have a bunch of young people who aren't yet fully developed managers. They can maybe run a crew, but the problem is, Chris, the end answer to this question is who raises their pay, who hires them, and who fires them? That is the human that should be sitting down with them. Now, you can take input from a project manager, an estimator, or even their crew leader to say how they're doing. But let me know if this clarifies it. So you have a foreman or somebody in charge of a crew there, and they sit down with them and deliver their KPIs. The only potential problem with that is if you're the one who gives them the blessing for a raise or not, or fires them, but yet they're getting their KPIs delivered somebody else, that is a mixed message for that level technician, that painter. I believe, single source of truth, I believe that all of that should come from whoever decides they're paying. The problem is, if you have an org chart where literally that person has to report to them, and then your person, your job site leader reports to you, and you only hold accountable to job site leaders, that might work, but you're assuming that all of your job site leaders are going to manage your people. And I would not make that assumption, give or take, unless you have the greatest pile of technician managers in the country. So, no, Kent, let me know if this answers your question, but I do know this. A lot of times people typically push this stuff on other people because we don't want to do it, right? It's just one of those things, like, we're talking about your attendance and job performance, just show up and do your job, right? Problem is, it has to be done, right, constantly. You get a lot better performance, a lot better longevity with your people. Now, I'm always willing to discuss how you do it differently because I know you're a big thinker and I would love your input on this stuff too. All I know is that all of these things should be discussed. Accountability should be have between a direct report and their supervisor by those two only. If you throw another person in there or hope somebody else will do something for you, I've not found a lot of success, right? And there's not a lot of painting companies in the U.S. that employ a whole pile of managers who are good at holding other people accountable like you would. So that's basically where I'm coming from on that. Chris, you know, you can get a hold of me anytime, and I can be patrolling this after and see if you need another clarifying question. But, man, I love this discussion more than anything else because I absolutely would. I would have other people do goal setting and review meetings, accountability, and everything else if I could. The problem is there's not many people that can actually do it effectively. If we're being honest, again, not me saying good or bad, but we run towards the fire, man. There's not many people that do. That's what makes us business owners. So, Chris, appreciate you, buddy. Always love discussions. Love the way you think. So, all right, everybody. Join me in the PCA, join me for events. We're going to announce the next expo location fairly soon. We're negotiating with some locations. There's PCA business training. If you want to get in on that, anything you liked here, this is actually part of that curriculum like that. And we show lots of examples from other painting companies. So I will say thank you, guys. We're about to be dumped on with a crazy blizzard in Minnesota. I'm taking my family to Nashville tomorrow for a week of spring break. So we'll see if we can even get our plane out. If not, I'll probably be hanging around the business doing accountability and one-on-ones with my people all day Monday. So, all right, everybody, have a great rest of the day, great rest of the weekend. Appreciate you being here with me. I'll see you later.
PaintEd podcasts are produced by the Painting Contractors Association and are made possible by members and industry partners. To find out more about upcoming education opportunities or for more information about joining PCA, visit pcapainted.org.